Good evening. Welcome to the platform. I am Annalisa Dube, and this evening I am joined by the President of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries. Good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so over the weekend, the President made a statement, and there have been a number of adjustments. And one of the major adjustments that he spoke about was the increase of fuel prices by over 100%. As the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industry, what is your take on this? What does this mean for the Zimbabwean industries?
Well, look, I think we need to put it in the context of what situation was prevailing prior to this fuel increase. Because basically, when you look at it, our fuel, when you work from the open market rate, was actually now the cheapest in the region, actually 50% of the average price of the region, in the range of 40 to 50 cents. So we already had picked that the challenges that we're now getting, that the fuel was not available, very difficult to access, and yet the government was pumping a lot of money into the procurement of fuel. And the statistics reveal that in the period June to December 2018 and June to December 2017, in 2018, in that same period half year, the fuel consumed was 77% above that procured same period in the prior year, which is not realistic. And yet at the same time, we could not access the fuel. So we also believed, and we had been also been talking to government and saying the fuel price is too low. No matter what you do, it's not going to be available. There is the opportunity for arbitrage was just too high, such that even we believe from different players, be it some that were procuring vehicle, bulk the fuel, they made more money from just selling the fuel.
Okay, so maybe you also want to put it into context to say how as a nation, or as a country rather, how are we getting by this past year? Why has it become a bigger problem now?
The reason it has become a bigger problem now is I think we've all been seeing the movement of the exchange rates. That is the black market rates. There was a huge movement in September, or around September, October, where the rates now are over, went up to about 1 to 5 at one point. I think they are now hovering around 1 to 3, 1 to
between 2.5, 1 to 3, I hear it's 2.5, yeah.
Yes. So when you worked the price, our RTGS price of fuel, that's where the problem arose. Where now, if someone sold that fuel for US dollars, they actually make you more money. The government sells it to you at an equivalent price of 40 cents. You could sell it at 80 cents and get away with it. So this is the situation that we're in. And because just to give you an example, I was giving other people. We the cost of importing fuel is roughly around 60 cents, and yet we were importing the fuel for 60 cents. And the person who comes from outside with a dollar and goes out to the black market and gets $3, they'll buy 2 liters instead of getting. So who was paying for that 1 liter? That was the 1 liter that we ended up now having to take money for medicine, to take money for other things and put it to fuel. But still the fuel was not available to you and me, because the people that then got it did not sell it to you and me. Some of them were selling it outside of the country, and some of it we now were having to buy it in US dollars. The same fuel that we bought for 40 cents. So these are some of the distortions that we talk about. And because of the volume of fuel, we were actually now utilizing the little forex that we should have been putting to other critical areas into fuel, which then does not benefit the country. So it's one of those distortions that needed to be taken care of. Unfortunately, the some of the things that are really bad, when they're taken care of, it's also equally painful. Perhaps there could have been more communication around it, but the reality, it was basically a not a sustainable situation. Because if you recall, I don't know who's been able to get fuel over the last 2-3 weeks, because we certainly have not.
Okay, even so in business. Is this some sort of way of the government acknowledging that the bond note and the RTGS are not 1:1 to the US dollar?
Yeah, correct. I mean, I think you have to understand that when the government says they says it's 1:1, they have to maybe what they are also not communicating is in as much as an acknowledgement that there's not 1:1, but there is also an aspect of wanting to find a way to deal with the legal issues as to how do we move from the bond not being 1:1, given that it was issued as 1:1. there's a need to actually move, or there are legal issues that would arise just from actually saying it's no longer acknowledging, it's not one-to-one. But this is something that we are discussing with government. We're also discussing with government to find out how and what our own thoughts around it. We are giving them as to how to move away from that. But the reality is that it's no longer one-to-one. And the reality is what we are facing in the market. So we have to now move to the real the state of the situation, which is that it's in terms of the situation elsewhere, that is not one-to-one. Was that way also, I think one of the reasons why we're having some of the strikes and the complaints are to do with the impact of the cost of living on the everyday man. So the fuel itself is not what the price is not what's going to is not going to drive the price, but the prices have already moved. What we need to do is start to acknowledge things where they are, and then what we've spoken to government about, which they've already started also doing, is that they are getting the tripartite negotiating forum to come together so that we quickly work out what is the level of compensation that we need to do for our labor, both in the private sector and in the public sector.
So from what I'm picking up from what you're saying, you are in support of this increase of fuel.
It was absolutely unavoidable. Totally unavoidable. Because as I say, us as business, we could not even access the fuel prior to this price increase. And the reason being, anything that came through did not get to us. It was now going, we don't know where it was going.
So the increase in fuel, in your opinion, the way you're putting it across, is going to make industry move or function better now?
Well, if we don't have fuel, we can't function. Because
no, but you're saying
that's what I'm saying. No, I'm trying to answer your question without being directed totally by what you're saying, so that we don't miss out what you're saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying is without fuel, we can't operate. So if this move will ensure that we believe it will ensure that we can now access the fuel, all of us, and there's less time that's likely to be spent in people in queues, which is productive time. And also, to be honest, a lot of businesses were now asking that sometimes they're accessing it at $7 per liter rather than the $3 per liter that is actually being proposed. So it was actually having a worse impact on our business and also the cost of goods. So by recognizing the true price, we then can start to move on. Because I mean, you know it. Purely the region is about a dollar. But if you had a US dollar in Zimbabwe, you buy 2 liters.
Okay, let's clarify which region this is. Which region are we talking about? We're talking about Southern Africa,
South Africa, Zambia, all the neighboring countries. It's around a dollar.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you've spoken about a number of things that I want to follow up on. So let's start with the issue of, I know we've addressed this a bit, but the issue is to do with one-to-one. You said that the reason around why maybe the government hasn't acknowledged that there is not, the bond note is not at par as the US dollar, is issue to do with legalities. So are you saying that the reason why they have been saying it's one-to-one is merely because of legalities around how they issued out the bond note?
There are two things. There are issues to do with legality, and from in discussions with them, they are also wanting to see how do they cushion the loss in value that can happen by officially recognizing that it's not one-to-one. Because there's certainly a loss of value that will happen to certain sectors. These include pension funds, the pension years lost their money the last time, and perhaps balances of some of banks and even the general public. So what they are looking at now is trying to find ways to say, how do we mitigate the loss in value? There are various ways that it can be done. Those that are holding large balances of RTGS.
But wasn't that done already when they created the FCA accounts?
No. That's different, because the FCA accounts will be where you're holding your US dollars, right? And then you mean recent creation?
Yes,
yeah.
The recent creation.
The recent one, yeah. That's where you'd hold your US dollars. That's fine. But even there are some that are holding millions of the there's about 7 to 8 billion of RTGS, which is, so that money is owned by institutions and commercial, various institutions. So if we recognize, for instance, that is 1 to 3, what it means is the value of that money has been reduced to 1 to 3. There are some that have borrowed. What it will mean is their loans will increase unless we come up with
measures. But what I'm saying is, for the regular Zimbabwean who was holding a bank account, this bank account was said to be US dollars, right? And then after the budget announcement, we're told that there is now a creation of FC accounts, which means money that was in this account, that is an FC account, is no longer US dollars.
Correct.
By that, does it not already deteriorate the value of this money that is in the account?
Well, that's
it's
one
not
thing,
the same thing.
But it's the same thing. But I mean, that's why we would also, that's why I think in talking to the government, we also wanted to find out how the holders of those balances can also be cushioned. Those that will have money at the time of if any conversion were to be done, and anyone who would like to preserve the value, how can they be cushioned? So this is looking at every across the board, individuals and institutions.
Okay. So let's go back to the issues to do with fuel. You spoke about how when there was this distortions and the fuel industry was not operating to its maximum capacity because you did not have access to this fuel. Now that fuel has gone up, how is this going to affect pricing in general, pricing of everything? Because we know and we understand that transport fares have already been hiked as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, look, our position also is when you look at that at the level of government, it's okay. The one thing is that government did speak about a rebate that should go to commercial enterprises, including to providers of transport, about a rebate system. We should like to see basically how is that going to be administered. We believe that's going to be a complex issue. But if they do find a way, that will ensure that the prices, hopefully the cost will not go up. But in the event that they don't, you know, in terms of the computations, we're saying if the combi was 50 cents when the price of fuel was about $1.30, that's roughly around 38% right of the price of fuel. So if the price of fuel is now gone to $3.11, you would expect that the price of combi should be around between a dollar.
But that's not the case on the ground.
Well, yeah, I mean that's why we're saying that's the effort by companies. You know, I mean, you always when people increase things by themselves, no one is ever going to go to where the market rate will be. But
so there is need for some regulation.
There is need, and also we don't believe that the market can afford where they've gone to. It now makes sense for anyone who's got their small vehicle to actually carry some passengers rather than them going to a combi and offer them a cheaper fare. And everyone gets they're able to afford a dollar. He gets 2 liters to get to work. It gets another 2 liters to come back, he or she. So with some of those things will balance out. But certainly, some of the price of the combi fare is shot up way higher than it should have. And in terms of the prices in the productive sector, we know some of the already increased prices because they were not accessing fuel. And also
so now that they have access to fuel, now
we would expect either stability or coming down unless some had not factored it in at all, or they are dealing with the transporter who is now raising. But in the event that the rebate comes through, the prices should not go up. But also, in a report done, the cost of fuel was around at most 20% of the total cost, depending on it was 10 to 20%. So the price increase should affect 10 to 20% of your cost. So effectively, your overall cost of the product should not go up by anything close to 10%.
So if we're going with your words, you're saying that you as an industry are expecting prices to go down or to stabilize.
Well, if there's an increase, they should be marginal. Not more than, for those that did not factor it in, they should not be more than, it should be around, maybe at most around 10%.
And those that had already hiked the prices, you're expecting them to put them
well,
down?
Well, you know, people usually don't do that, but they should, ideally. Okay. But this is where competition will help with this. But the bigger issue, I think we need to look at what was better.
Mm-hmm.
What the situation that we had where we could absolutely not access fuel at all, even though government was is pumping money into the procurement of fuel, and we are having record levels of, you know, fuel queues, and then all those people are unable to go to work, and we as business, we are unable to access things to make, to collect raw materials, make deliveries.
So we're basically unproductive as a country.
Yeah, correct. Or else we'd remove the distortion, and we also sit down to say, what is the impact of this distortion? And we ensure that whoever is affected is cushioned.
You keep referring to how you are in communication or in some sort of dialogue with the government on how best you can do it. What are some of the recommendations that you had given to government or that you are yet to give to government?
I mean, obviously the issues to do with the currency and currency reforms, which also involve this issue where we had a distortion on the price of fuel. We believe those are the key ones, which we are trying to ensure that they are expedited to in terms of implementation, so that we as a country we move on. Because those are the key things. Because I think when people look at the current economic challenges that we are having as a country, sometimes, you know, we don't, maybe sometimes it's not explained that as an economy, what we actually need to do is a total increase in productivity and production across the board. Across the board in everyone. It's not the government that is going to that is going to do this. We are looking at those in tourism doing the best that they can to ensure that they attract as many tourists as possible. Their assets are lucrative for attracting tourism. Those in agriculture utilizing every bit of land that they've got. So you find that as an economy, our exports in last year actually grew significantly to the extent that it's actually a record performance where gross inflows are around.
And this is attributed to?
This is attributed to various sectors, mining, even manufactured goods exports also increased with mining exports, and we had an improvement even in agricultural exports. So you find that as an economy, the biggest problem of that we have is the lack of adequate stability, because as an economy, we're also extremely highly consumptive, because our imports grew from about 5.2 in 2017 to 7 billion.
So we have, as a country, we have the ability, we are capable of generating revenue to sustain ourselves.
We correct. This but, is the highest, even higher than economies like Kenya, in terms of.
But our issue is the issue of management of those resources.
Issue of management of those resources. You know, to say, look, if we are going to grow the economy, how do you prioritize what we have? And where are the areas where our greatest leakages are? How do what are the things that we are importing that we should be producing locally that will create a saving on that aspect? So this is where we are still weak. How do we ensure that we produce? Because the moment we do that, there is a strong possibility that we're going to surplus. Because this year, had we just grown the exports without growing imports, would have gone into a surplus, would actually have had cash to sit on. But the things like what was happening with the fuel, our major leakages happening daily. You are spending money that you don't have to import fuel, and you just burn it. One side of it you are not using mostly for protective purposes. You're burning it in your cars, which is okay because people are using it. But the component which you are not seeing, which could be part of that 77% growth, is money that should be going to government.
You know, Mr. Jamal, when speaking to you, I can you sound very optimistic of what's going on, and you sound very positive, which is good. But from a regular Zimbabwean who has to deal with these things every single day, they need to understand, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for me? Because in as much as you're explaining that this is good for you in terms of production, at the end of the day, how does a Zimbabwean get by? Because most of their salaries haven't gone up. And if any case, they've actually been slashed.
Correct. This is where, as I indicated, that in terms of salaries, we all need to acknowledge that the cost base that we were at is totally changed.
Mm.
We have to come together and find the new compensation level for the employees. Because if you all will be one component that's gone up, the when the rate went up, other things also went up, you know, in the economy. So we need to see what is the new minimum compensation level that we have to do for the labor. so that the labor is no worse off than it was the last time. And then where the sectors which are doing well should also then do a little bit more. You know, the sectors that I was talking about that are exporting more. But that conversation can only happen once we acknowledge that, you know, particularly things like the rate. This is the new rate. It's not where it used to be. Once we acknowledge those things...
But it seems like the government has acknowledged it.
Yeah, yeah. So now that's why we are saying, now what we need to do, which is what we're pushing to government, is to then say, let's now... Because the TNF was actually supposed to meet for a consultative meeting today. The first one that we probably have had in like maybe seven months, yeah. In a long time. We
and
actually have not met in a while. Yeah,
because
and yet it's important. That's the one day where we will discuss and make sure that labor comes in with these issues and everyone comes in. So what we're saying is maybe from our end is though the process started slowly, maybe labor was not aware what's coming. Instead, perhaps as a component of the post, for those that are protesting, it's better to go to the, let's go to the negotiating table or at TNF and put our things on the ground, on the table, put our timelines, put our everything, and then take it from there. Because at least from that perspective, there's dialogue.
Okay, have you engaged the government on all these issues that you're bringing up?
Indeed.
And what has been the response?
This is why I was saying the TNF was actually supposed to start meeting today, where it did not be for these disturbances that occurred. We are waiting for a new date. We're actually supposed to meet today because we also were pushing, and the government was in agreement that we need to meet on these issues of distortions, because we are already seeing the pressure that's coming from labor or that's coming from the different sectors. So this is because there are distortions, and you can really see the pain that's there, but we need some guidance so that we as we remunerate, as we compensate, we all are in the same in the same boat across the board in the economy.
This is the platform. I'm Monalisa Dube. I'm joined by the president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, Sifalani Jabangwe. We are looking at a number of issues, particularly industries' reaction to the fuel price increases. Okay, so let's talk about the crisis in industry document that was circulated by the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries. What are the highlights of that document?
Okay, well, in the first one, those circulated, we actually wondered who circulated. It was initially a private document between ourselves and government. But basically, since it's out there, the issue was really to do with the state of industry in terms of raw material stocks. Basically saying that at the time that the fiscal measures were announced, and the monetary measures were announced last year, when they separated nostrils and the US dollar forex nostrils and the and local RTGS, there was also a law to outlaw the trading of currencies. And a lot of companies had not been getting currency from the RBZ, but unfortunately, when that law came on, people decided, you know, that they were, look, it seems this has been outlawed, or end up 10 years in jail. People have not been accessing money anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So the raw materials have been running out, and we are in a crisis right now where we are down to some companies an average of maybe a month's supply of raw materials. So we were saying we need a mechanism to illegal access to raw materials, to foreign currency, to procure raw materials, given that the USD nostrils have been growing, and so which means there is some money available to trade, and also for there to be allocations of those companies producing the what you're calling the monitored goods or the priority goods. So this is what we've been discussing with them, with the government, to say, look, this, we should have done this a long time ago, but it's really now time to move on, and there's a clear. Yeah.
Okay, when are you expecting some sort of feedback or some response as a way forward?
Well, we have been discussing, we have been having meetings in the past weeks, and we are due again to meet within the next two weeks or so to get feedback on the actions.
Okay, there seems to be a lot of meetings, a lot of dialogue, but when can we expect results?
Yeah, I don't know, the actions. Look, as we were saying, the good thing is that this dialogue, which is happening now. So we are, for us, we are trying to push that. If we are going to have a good 2019, a number of the issues have to be resolved within these first 2 months. Otherwise, the year is lost. So So we have to resolve all the key pertinent issues within this first 2 months between January and February. So and the government is in agreement. As I said, it's just that the situation seems to be running ahead because of the costs and other things that are affecting the market, which also puts pressure that we were running behind in terms of when we should have done these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So as we round off the program, as a Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, what is your outlook for 2019?
Look, our outlook for 2019, I think we believe that since we had managed to get into dialogue with the government and we were agreeing on a number of issues that needed to be implemented, and these things were implemented within these first 2 months, we believe that there's a very good scope for this year to do well. As I said, what we're looking at is to bring balance to all the things that were going out of sync, and then we move forward. So our concern is really probably what's happening now, where we say yes, the people have a right to air their views and strike, but the issue of the criminal component where people, and also even the issue of people getting injured, killed, we don't want that, where businesses get looted, where people interfere with any business that's operating, that's where we've got a problem, because your right to strike doesn't mean you must get somebody else to strike, and so forth. So we are saying, let's all exercise our rights as enshrined in the Constitution, but if we destroy what we have, it becomes totally almost impossible to build the country, because in countries we've seen, the countries like Syria, what has happened and so forth. What we're saying is, at least if we protest and deal, if we are going to protest and you deal with issues, but if we work together and we do not destroy infrastructure, all we have to do is come with paint and repaint the buildings, put a name, and we move on. But if we have destroyed our property, then we now need to start from scratch, which is a worse situation. And if things deteriorate to that level, our fear is that normally these things get hijacked by criminal elements, and the ones that suffer are normally, would they take the brunt of it, are women and children.
Right. Thank you so much. That was Mr. Sivalani Jabangwe, the president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, and we were discussing a number of issues around the economy and the industry, and we really hope the engagements and dialogue you're having with government will move a bit faster, so that, like you're saying, like situations are ahead of your plans that you have. So really hope that whatever dialogue you're having, you move a bit faster so that we avoid future incidents like the ones we had today. I am Mona Lisa Dube, and that's all we have time for this evening. Do stay tuned to ZFM.